place to confirm the message and to encourage us. Hallelujah. I want to encourage this evening, praise God, that you know, the Lord is, through the matter of prayer and faith and persistence, endurance, he's bringing heaven on earth, different aspects to the kingdom, as we know. But praise God, for those taking notes, this title, Making the Invisible Visible. Amen. Making the invisible visible. Prayer is communion with God. That's nothing new in this assembly, but dear friends, are we still being religious? Are we still striving? Are we still trying to persuade God to give us something that we're not sure it's his will to give? Are we still trying to work something up in our own merit by praying, and it kind of persuades God? I know there is a persistence. God does answer because of persistence. But what is our attitude in that? Are we trying in our own strength to be worthy of the things that we're asking God? Or is there something far greater working in our prayer, in our faith? Praise God. So really, the point about prayer, the channel of communication, it brings heaven to earth. It brings a bit of heaven to earth. Now, how does that happen? Well, this is why we encourage to get into the Word, to feed on the Word. This is why we come to meetings to have the Word taught to us. When we know God's will, when we know, when we're convinced of his will, when our life is all about God's will, and not only his will, but his willingness, his love, his attitude, his desire to give those things that he's promised, based not on our merit, but simply on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his merit, his righteousness imputed to us. When we can rest in the fact we already have those things in him, when we realize the power that is working within us, it goes the other way round. It's actually God himself, that God-given faith, the Spirit within us, enabling us to commune with our Heavenly Father, bringing those things, making those things available to us. God is only too pleased to bring them to us in our experience. It's not us trying to twist his arm, trying to persuade him, Lord, I'm worthy. I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done so much studying. Look at all my good works. I've done this, I've done that. Please reward me. I've done my best for you. Nobody in this assembly, nobody, no overcomer, is going to approach God with that on their lips and be successful in the matter of prayer. Friends, the point is, it's not about doing our best. It's giving him our all. He has given us his all, and we now give him our all. And as we heard this evening in prophecy, it's as we get out of the way, as we, well, it's a season, it wasn't just prophecy, is it? The Spirit is saying certain things to us. And what we need to be persuaded of as overcomers, you know, in this season, we're being prepared, we're going through our trials. But do you know there's a power working? In the matter of faith and prayer, God's power, the same power that created the heavens and the earth, the same power, the same love that created Adam and Eve, that power is also working within us. Now, our problem is this. We're going through trials. We're being crucified. We have all kinds of emotions. We have all kinds of sin, all kinds of desires, a will, ideas, hopes, all the things that God is doing. And we think, where is the power of God? Where is this power? Going through a trial, and I've been confessing day in, day out, 24/7, confess till I'm, you know, I've just confessed. Nothing seems to be happening. Where is this power? Dear friends, power, okay, you can look at power as a waterfall, the Niagara Falls, or you can look at power, you know, a hurricane or whatever, a tornado, great power, a tsunami. But the power of our God is motivated by his love. it's controlled by his wisdom. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to dispense that power. He knows when it's needed. He knows how to let that power flow. It doesn't just swamp it, you know, just swamp us and deal with us in that way. This is God's love. This is his redemptive love. Jesus rebuked the disciples, didn't he, when the Samaritans rejected him, and they even gave a proof text, you know, like Elijah did. Shall we call down fire and consume them like Elijah? And he said, you do not know what spirit you're of. It's not about calling down fire, the power of God to destroy enemies. This is about redemption. The Son of Man came to save, not to destroy men's lives. And so this is how it is. This creative power that spoke into being. Do you know, in God's will, where is this going? This creative power that spoke into being, the worlds, the original creation, has now spoken new creation into being, you and I. We're born again by the Word of God. And dear friends, that same power dwells within us. Hallelujah. Now, what's happening with this? We are united. We are the greatest blessing, the greatest redemptive blessing, is that we now are experiencing a thing called that union with Christ. We are united. We're joined to that same Spirit. We're one Spirit with the Lord. We're joined to the perfect, as the chorus goes, joined to the perfect life of Christ. Now, here's the problem. Are we walking in that Spirit? Are we walking, or is there still a law operating? Are we still working by the law, our own works, our own ideas, our own desires? Dear friends, there exists in the heart of God his will for us. You know where Jesus said, thy will, he taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will, what that means, yes, certainly obedience. How else is his will going to be done except his people obey him? But there is in the heart and mind of God for us things that we have not yet seen. And as we understand what it is, that union with Christ, what it is to walk in the Spirit, that will, he will communicate his will. There are blessings, manifestations, ministries, people to get saved. Did you know souls, he has ordained, he's predestined souls that are going to get saved through your ministry? There are gifts, there are all kind of things that we've yet to experience his will, that he is communicating to our spirit. And we need to be sensitive. Is this my desire? Is this something I've wanted? Or, Father, is this something you are showing me? Is this something specific you're putting in my heart? Because when we know that, when we know it is God's will, it is God's word, it's the Spirit communicating his will to us, as we receive that, believe it, take responsibility for that, yield to it, rather than resist or run away or misinterpret. But as we yield to that, as we receive it, and wait on God, praying the thing through, Lord, is this of you, or is this some fanciful, you know, is this a fantasy of mine, or is this something you, yes, you're showing me, this is what you have for me. As we pray those things through, or any promise, we're going through a trial, we need something from God, as we pray that through, his will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. He's communicating his will. He's making full provision for our redemption. Every conceivable need, physical, emotional, mental, material, spiritual, anything that we need in this walk of redemption, on our walk to the fullness of Christ, God has provided. Now, he's already predestined our prayers of faith. He knows when that faith is coming before him. And on that basis, he's provided a full redemption in Christ. Now, dear friends, that faith, as we yield, it's not us trying to believe. As a result of our union with Christ, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, the source, the perfecter of our faith. He completes it. He's put it as a seed in our heart, and he's completing it. Now, the reason I'm saying all this, I know we probably heard this the first day we got saved. This is nothing new. But, dear friends, my concern is, and I trust you'll receive this as an exhortation and encouragement, why so often do we let the enemy rob us of what belongs to us as his people? We get ourselves, because of emotions, because of things God is still dealing with, we get ourselves all tied up in knots because we fail to wait on God. We need to respond, we need to react. We allow the world and its ways, its time, to pressurize us into making a decision and acting and doing what needs to be done. If we could lock in to the heavenly realm, to the way Jesus walked, a complete relationship, a revelation of the Father's will. Because our faith, it rests completely on our knowledge of God's will. I know we're talking about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Yes, it is the word, it's scripture, it's our knowledge of the word. But friends, unless the Holy Spirit communicates that to us, we end up being legalistic. We end up with a head full of religious ideas. It must be the Father's heart communicated to us by the Spirit. We've got to understand the power of our relationship to him. Romans 7 is a classic example of this. Please do not hear this as an exhortation to spend even more time in prayer. I'm not talking about the externals. This is the heart of the matter. How do we approach God? In what attitude, in what spirit are we approaching Almighty God, our Heavenly Father? We're going to look later on at persistence, but there's a power working. It's not just us enduring in our own strength. You know, this is our confusion, isn't it? That yes, the Spirit is crucifying us. Yes, there's all kinds of work going on within. So how is it now we're talking about God's power? But this is how his power is manifesting. Think of how he's preserving us in this. His hand is keeping us in this to perfect that work. We don't have to look inward and help him with it. As we yield, as we rest, he perfects that in us to bring us to a place where he can then, where we'll then experience what he does, not only in but then through us. Now in Romans 7, Paul uses an example of the law. Now I'm not going to specifically speak here about marriage, but he's using that to illustrate the law, what's happened to us in redemption. So Romans chapter 7, we'll start with verse 1, says, "Do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." So there's that, and using that, the fact of marriage under the law, as an analogy. So he then says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." Praise God, we're no longer bound by the law, by legalism, by the things we have to do to earn salvation. And it's by the body of Christ. It's not simply, it's not the body as in 1 Corinthians 12, but what Jesus did at the cross, his actual body, what the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. To whom? To him who was raised from the dead. We are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer under the law, because the law, was crucified, as it was put to the cross. The demands of the law were put to the cross in him. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. He fulfilled the law for us. So everything that was in the law that was against us was nailed to the cross. He took it out of the way. for us or on our behalf in our place, so that we can then spiritually, we're joined with him. It speaks of marriage. Now what's the importance of this? We're married to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Not work for him, not try and please him, not try and do the things that, or say the things that we know he wants to hear, or try and do the things that we know he wants of us, but it's bearing fruit. For when we were in the flesh, in other words, living according to the flesh, walking in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. It was killing us. A lot of people think, oh, praise God, you know, all these passions, it must be because I'm alive, I'm living. This sin, that's how the world thinks. No, the wages of sin is death. It was working death. But now we have been delivered from the law. You see, whether a person is a religious person trying to keep the law, that's possibly worse than the unregenerate out there who don't know the law, who are in their rebellion. Which is worse? The unregenerate out there who are just don't even know the law or the Lord, and they're just continuing in their sin, or a religious person trying in his own strength to keep the law? And it's all the law can do is just expose what is wrong, expose how we've fallen. But now, praise God, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. A lot of us are still trying to deliver ourselves from our sin. Friends, allow the cross to do that work by the Spirit. We've been delivered from the law. Are we hearing what the word says? We've been set free from the law, from its curse, from its demands, from the impossible nature of keeping everything that's in the law. And we have died by the work of the Spirit in our lives, replicating the cross in our life. We've died to that thing that we were held by, because the law cannot give us power over sin. On the contrary, it increases sin's power over our life. So we died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Now, are we walking continually in the newness of the Spirit, not the oldness of the letter, the death of the letter? Well, how do we know? John 15 tells us all about that. One that we know very well. Jesus says in John 15, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Jesus is looking for fruit, and it's only in marriage to him, through his resurrected life and power, that we bear that fruit. When God communicates his will to us, he doesn't expect some legalistic response of trying to understand it, trying to analyze it, evaluate it mentally. But as we receive that and pray it through, as we're waiting on God, allowing the Spirit to bring forth the fruit of that, when God reveals his will, it's a seed sown in our heart. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can bring that forth as a fruit. Yes, there are things we have to do. We understand that. But the performance of it, the enabling to consistently do God's will, can only happen when the Spirit takes over, when the flesh, the self, has been put to the cross. The cross has to do its work before God's will can be consistently done, because he's dealing with our affections. And this is how the power of God is working at the moment, to put us to death, to reveal, to work the cross, and then we're going to experience that full flow of his resurrection life and power. And the reason we pray, the power behind our prayers, is not us. Yes, we're desperate, we're seeking God, and you know, we love the Lord, but dear friends, it's Him, it's the Spirit, it's Jesus, it's the one to whom we are united by faith, by the work of the Spirit. He is giving us that power to endure, to persist, to persevere. Now, if we're allowing fear and unbelief, and it's taken so long, and I'm praying the same thing, friends, our attitude needs to change. We need to seek God about that. I know the devil can work, and it's easy for the flesh to work in that way. But remember, God has revealed His will to us. And in the matter of prayer, we are birthing through His will, that as it is in heaven, we're birthing it through so that we experience it. His will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. His redemptive will, all that He has planned for us, all that He wants for us, is being wrought by His Spirit as we persevere, as we persist in prayer. He says, "You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." Now again, I know we've just spoken about prayer, but we can't substitute by prayer what we lack in the word. If God's word is not in our heart, if we're not feeding on God's word, we're going to lack the faith, the endurance, the vision to understand fully what we're praying for or why. The word and prayer must work together, and it's the Holy Spirit who's doing that. He says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, because without me or apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, how do we abide? It's a work of the Spirit. Friends, have we understood this? Us that have been walking this walk 25, 30 years, without Him, we can do nothing. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You take away that branch, it immediately begins to die. It immediately begins to die. Now, you say, "Well, I'm abiding in Christ. I've come to every meeting. I come to all the meetings. I pray and I read my Bible. I'm abiding in Christ." Well, maybe. Maybe. Friends, if we're still in our attitude, if we still have an independent spirit, if there's still some independence about us, that we're not going to wait on God, that we're going to do things in our own time, our own strength, we're not yielding to the Spirit, at that point, we're not abiding in Christ. And that could be an open door to where eventually the person falls away completely. So that's why God is working with that. There's no such thing as 90% in this walk, or 95%. This is why God is working like He is, to remove all those things that still subconsciously trust in God. We go through our trials, and up it comes. What shall I now do? What shall I do to deliver myself from this situation? What can I do to make things better? We're coming to that place where we actually understand, yes, the vine and branch are metaphor, but we're still to experience that as a branch in the vine yields so that the sap, the life that's in that vine, produces the fruit. The branch bears the fruit, the vine produces it, and we're still trying to produce fruit. All God has called us to is to bear fruit, to yield. He'll prune. Thing called trials and chastisement, chastening, trials, tests, sufferings, all the things that we go through, He knows exactly where and how and when to prune. And as we yield, as we remain in Him, still waiting, that fruit will be born. Because by revealing His will, by the Spirit as well as the Word and the Holy Spirit work together, that thing is then, that fruit is then, as we stay with it, is then birthed through. See, now he'll reveal soon enough where that desire comes from. Is it a God-given desire, or is it our own imaginings? Because it can feel the same. We're emotional creatures, aren't we? We're emotional beings. But God is getting to the motives. Are we seeking God in prayer because we want comfort in a situation? We want deliverance from a certain trial? Of course we want deliverance. But ultimately, are we hearing from God that this is about God's glory? And that if God were to stop this trial now, it would prevent the work that he's actually doing, the deeper work that he's actually doing in my life. If this were to short circuit, then the fruit that he's bringing out of my life couldn't happen. Because we need that endurance. We have need of endurance. After that we've done God's will in the matter, we will inherit the promise. Now, there are manifestations waiting for us, waiting for you and I, friends, in the Father's appointed time. There's a process we have to go through. Now, we already have it in Christ. It's ours. It's assured. But as we yield to the Spirit in that work, we begin to experience it, doing his will. And in his time, God will bring it to us. He'll work it. Now, as we wait on him, listen to what he's saying. So in verse 6 he's saying, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them, throw them into the fire, they're burned. So that's dead, that's useless, that is the end of the branch that does not abide in Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The word that abides in us and us abiding in him, asking what we desire, because that desire is a reflection of his will. We've heard from God and our affection is such that we want what he wants. Augustine said a dangerous thing. He said, love God and do what you want. Now 98% of believers hearing that would completely misunderstand, wouldn't they? They'd say, oh yippee, I can love God and I'll go running around doing what I want. What he meant was, and I trust you're picking this up, if you genuinely love God, you will want what he wants. You want to do what he wants. Praise God. And that's what God is working. It's a relationship. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He's our friend. He's put his desires within us and he's birthing them through. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is glorified by us bearing much fruit. And a lot of that fruit comes from answered prayer. So as we persist, as we stay with this, we're bringing a part of heaven, we're bringing reflections, manifestations, aspects of the kingdom of heaven, bringing them upon earth. Can you receive that without thinking, oh, he's gone off into kingdom faith and all that stuff? No. Our prayer, our faith is bringing to pass God's will on earth as it is in heaven. We're not trying to do anything. It's God doing it in us and then through us. This is the power of prayer. When we come together in prayer, do we really know what we're doing? Or are we still being religious? Are we still concentrating? Still our minds are focused on the problem, on the trial, on the situation, on the things that haven't happened yet, on the things that are going wrong, on the things that aren't going right, on the things? Or are we understanding by the Spirit within us that what we're actually doing, we're communing with God? We are in God's presence. At any time he wants, he can speak a word and it will prevail, it will come to pass, it will manifest at any time he chooses. The fact that there's a lack of manifestation is not that God is withholding in that sense. but in his infinite wisdom, he's not yet manifested his full power in that situation. There's something he's working. He's working that discipline, that relationship. He's preparing, he's setting the scenes, he's working things in the heavenlies. But above all, he's calling us to a deeper relationship. He's cleansing us of all that would hinder the flow of the Spirit. You know, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit in John 7 as rivers of out of our belly, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, have you ever seen pictures or ever been there where, you know, the thing called white water, where the rivers crash against the rocks and all stirs up, doesn't it? It's like a foaming mass. That's because it meets with resistance. There's something in there that is resisting the flow of that river. And okay, it's crashing and smashing about. Eventually the water prevails. But God is removing anything within us that hinders. That is the pain, that is the resistance, that is the friction when there's something within us that resists that irresistible force. You've heard of that, haven't you? When an irresistible force meets an immovable object. But with God, it's not immovable. God is taking that out of the way in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, exposing, removing those things that hinder. Nothing new to us. But the worst kind of hindrance, it's nothing so deep that we can't understand it. It's what keeps us selfish. What is keeping me independent from God? What is stopping me with my whole heart, the affection of my heart? What is stopping me doing God's will? What is stopping me hearing what God is saying? Why am I not in peace? What is preventing this rest, allowing God to take over and do it all? And that's the thing he's removing. Dear friends, we are the sheep of his pasture, aren't we? The sheep of his right hand. We should be resting in his provision, experiencing his presence, his blessing, his provision in all things. And if we're not, that's what we're dealing with. Yes, God is power. God is power. He's love. He's all of those things. But there's something in his wisdom, praise God, his wisdom has decreed that it shall manifest, it will be expressed in a right time and in a right way. And that's what's exposing in us, isn't it? I want it all now, I want it now. But he knows we'd only be prodigal sons with it all. So there's a right time in which it manifests, in which he bestows it. And that we're being prepared for sonship in that. We are being prepared, friends, for sonship. You see, discipleship is preparing us. It's the present aspect by faith of the kingdom of God. It's preparing us for the kingdom that will come. It's preparing us for the kingdom that will come. That we're disciples, because Jesus has told us that only those doing the will of the Father will inherit the kingdom. But that's not a legalistic thing. That's not something we strive to do in our own strength. Dear friends, remember Paul said it in Romans 7, as we walk in newness of the Spirit. We're new creations in Christ. God has given us all that we need to walk this walk. That rest. He's given us that new heart. He's put within us his Spirit. Jesus himself fulfilled the law on our behalf. We're now joined to the one who fulfilled the law on our behalf. He's taken away the guilt, the condemnation, the power, the defilement of sin. He's taken all that away. He has made full provision in every way for our redemption. We're still trying to take it. We're still trying to get something that we've already been given. Instead of yielding to the Spirit and avail ourselves of what God has provided, there's a big difference. The Holy Spirit has come to see to it that we inherit what belongs to us. We appropriate it by faith, an act of faith. And that act of faith, behind every act of faith, let me slightly exaggerate to make a point, but it's not that much of an exaggeration. Behind every act of faith is a lifetime's preparation by the Holy Spirit, bringing us to that place. Praise God. The Spirit is working so that we come to that place by faith, appropriating His promises. Herein, Jesus said, is my Father glorified. God gets the glory from our answered prayer. Every time a promise is fulfilled, our Heavenly Father is glorified. And that account, that abounds as fruit to our account for His glory. And that is an assurance of our relationship to Him, our discipleship. Fulfilling a calling, fulfilling a ministry is a fruit of discipleship. It's the result of our, you know, the faith and commitment that God has worked in us. So we're not talking about changing prayer in the sense of increasing the amount. We're always getting to the heart of the matter. It's how we approach God. It's our attitude. It's our motives. Are we considering it done? When we come, when we meet in our prayer meetings or our own private prayers, in all honesty, friends, in our hearts, when we wait before God, when we sit at His feet, or when we're praying in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, whatever it would be, warfare, or however the Spirit is leading, but in our hearts, do we know that thing is already done? Are we actually approaching God from a position of victory, of something that has already been accomplished? That we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, with Him, that we are joint heirs with Him of His kingdom? Or are we still, there is a supplication, don't get me wrong, but the Spirit works it, but is there still this mentality of begging and pleading, and I'm trying to convince God to give me something that I'm not sure it's His will to give me? Our Heavenly Father is grieved when we don't believe that He loves us so much He gave us His only begotten Son. Now, if He's already given us what's best, anything else is secondary. He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ. We are united with the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. We're united with deity, joined to His perfect life. The grace, the revelation, the power of prayer should be coming from within, rising up those rivers of living water by the Spirit, not us trying to convince God that we're good enough or that we're believing Him enough to get what He's promised. God has already provided it, and the Spirit is giving us the strength, the grace, the wisdom to appropriate it. He goes on, he says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, are we conscious of that abiding? Have we understood that this is not a figure of speech, but that as His children, as growing up into sons, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can continually abide and rest and dwell, remain and continue in His love, in the Father's love. To the same degree that the Father loves the Son, we experience that same love continually, totally, in spite of the feelings, in spite of the devil's lies, in spite of the circumstances. God's love, that fellowship, covenant, faithfulness, His love abiding in us and through us and on us. That is what should be motivating our faith. When we're experiencing that, how can we doubt? There's no room for fear. The will to sin is just it would just be blasphemous to think of even going there, wouldn't it? That God's love so gripping our spirit, our thoughts, our desires, so that we come to the place, this is true sonship, where whatever he has put in our hearts, he trusts us with that desire, when he gives us the desires of our heart, because it's coming from him. It's a reflection of his desire. And he knows that when that comes to pass, it's going to be nothing but for his glory. This is what he's working with us. And we come to a complete place of rest. Now, everything we've said this evening, completely familiar. We've said this week in, week out, time and time again, for years. Praise God. Now, the reason he's saying that is because eventually it's going to go from our heads to our hearts. Every single trial, every single test and temptation we face, instead of how it is at the moment, what we have been sowing over the years is eventually going to be reaped and manifested. Oh, praise God, that fruit of the Spirit to the glory of God. That redemptive relationship, that whatever we ask the Father in his name, he will give us, that he may be glorified. Praise God, 100% answers to prayer. We speak it into existence, just as God spoke, we speak, and we consider it done. But this will be borne out, not by what we say to one another, but praise God, by the fruit, by the peace in a time of trial. And it will influence all around. It's a river of living water that will cleanse and bathe and wash all who come into contact with him. Praise God. That's the power of our witness, of our influence. If God cannot convince us, if we're still questioning and fighting and resisting and arguing with God, how are we going to be witnesses? How is the influence of the Holy Spirit going to touch the world around us if his own people cannot receive his wisdom? Now, praise God, yes we are, aren't we? He's working that. We are becoming fully persuaded. We are receiving his love, his grace, his power, his wisdom, him. We're learning much more, we're growing up. There's come a change, hasn't there, where there's less resistance and we're now walking much more in the Spirit. But praise God, there's still a work to do, and he's doing that work. And I believe it's a subconscious thing, it's an attitude. It's not a thing we work at as in that sense, but there's something still deep within us, isn't there? Maybe fear, maybe unbelief, but that attitude that has still not yet fully turned loose, turned everything over to him. You see, here's the question, isn't it? We know that our Heavenly Father has entrusted his kingdom to his Son. Why then are we struggling to entrust our lives to him? Which is bigger, the kingdom or our life? Which is more, well, I don't want to belittle what we're going through, but, you know, which is more important, which has greater eternal consequence? Now, his kingdom, we're told to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why are we praying for something that's already going to happen? Well, God in his sovereignty, ordaining our prayers, it's not resignation, it's a reflection of our commitment, it's a reflection of our part in that kingdom. It's a reflection of God's will being done through you and me. It's a personal relationship. It's not just a general theological statement, well, we know God's kingdom's going to come. If we're part of that, then we're going to be praying it through. Not because our prayers are, but you know what I mean, it's simply what God has gone before and prepared the way. He's now working through what has already been done in the heavenlies. Nothing can manifest on earth unless it's already been prepared in heaven, unless it's in the Father's heart, unless God has decreed it. The very fact that it's in our hearts, that we're believing for it, means that it exists, that it is something God has spoken into being. Your ministry, those souls that are going to get saved under your ministry, those that are going to get healed, delivered, the oppressed that are going to go free, every manifestation, every promise that ever gets fulfilled in any situation in your life, God has already spoken it into being. You couldn't believe for it unless it already existed. And our problem is, we allow the devil to trick us into thinking, well, that's just me, that's just my fantasy, that's just a thought, that's just something I want. I'm being covetous, or I'm being religious, or why am I thinking this? No, dear friends, if we know that God has put that on our heart, then he's already spoken that into being. It's what Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. Now, yes, this is why we have been taught relationship, hearing from God, discernment, the cross working, because the devil can counterfeit. It might be your own desire, your own fantasy, but this is what we've gone over week after week. When we know that our heart is right with God, when we know in all good conscience we're hearing from God, then praise God. We need to be resting in him. The restlessness, the lack of peace, is because God is exposing where it isn't him at work. It is your desire, it is your selfishness, it is something you've thought up. This is why we preach this thing of being emptied. Not a popular message, is it? Being emptied of self. Allowing God in this present season, empty us, empty vessels. None of me, all of Jesus. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds, oh yeah, all of Jesus, none of me. But as we go through a few weeks and months and years, a few trials, as we submit to that process, the reality of it, well, praise God, eventually we submit because we love the Lord. We know enough what it's producing. But God is looking to fruit. That fruit, every time any kind of fruit is born, that's a little bit of heaven on earth. God's will, as it's done in heaven, is being done on earth through you and I. And there's a cost, isn't there? There is a cost in any marriage for that fruit to be born. There is a cost. It isn't just the labour, is it? It's the next 18 years of nurturing that. There's the pain, isn't it? The adder's tooth of a thankless child. You know, the rebellion, the nurture that is required. Bearing fruit takes time. It does take time. And this is why we have the Spirit. This is why we're called to persevere, to endure. In closing, the wonderful encouragement in Luke chapter 11. All I believe the Lord is wanting to say to us this evening, dear friends, is that we're not on our own. Prayer and perseverance and overcoming is not a religious task that we perform on our own. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We're his workmanship. He's working that faith within us. It's the Holy Spirit who's bringing us into our inheritance. Luke chapter 11, we'll start with verse 5. He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend? Go to him at midnight." So the darkest hour, we're in a desperate time. We're going to him at midnight. "Say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Because a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" We're being brought to an end of ourselves. We have no resources in which to fulfill God's will for our life or our ministry. "A friend has come to me." In the Middle East, you've got to understand the context. It's a sacred duty to show hospitality. You can't turn him away and say, "Go next door," or "Go to a B&B, I've got nothing." It has to be done. This is a desperate situation. We have nothing in which to fulfill God's will. And it's at midnight. It's not at a convenient time. And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me." So this is his friend. He's turning away a friend. He's the original thing. He's denying a friend. He's saying no in spite of the relationship, in spite of the situation. "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." And here's the encouragement. Jesus said, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he's friend, yet because of his persistence, his perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Now, don't read wrong into that. God is not denying our relationship. As we continue, we'll see what he's saying. "So I say to you," Jesus is saying, "so I say to you," the purpose of this parable, "I'm saying to you, is to ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives." He's trying to encourage us here. He's trying to get the point across, dear friends, that as we persist in prayer, we will receive. But this is a continual thing. Our faith is continually before God. We're not asking in a vain repetition. We're not asking the same things over and over again. But our faith is persisting and pressing through before God. As we praise him, as we confess, as we acknowledge, as we thank him. The seeking is in God's will. It's to do with, are we in God's will? Or, you know, removing the hindrances, meeting the conditions. And here he then comes to the Father's heart. He says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone?" Now think about that, friends. Some of you are fathers. Your son comes and says, "Can I have bread?" Will you give him a stone? Are you going to give him a substitute? Are you going to turn your son away with something that will harm him? No, obviously not. "If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish?" Are you going to give him something harmful? Your son comes to you for food. Will you give him something harmful? No, you won't. "If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" By now, the hearers will have got his message. Have we got the message? How will our Heavenly Father give us something that will harm us or not be what we want? "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, praise God, you say, "Well, I already have the Holy Spirit." Okay, we use this for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but even as believers, friends, whatever we receive from God in the way of a blessing comes by the Spirit. As we are seeking to evermore yield our lives to the Holy Spirit, as we're putting first things first, as we're putting him first, our relationship to him first, as we're seeking his glory, whatever comes as a result of that, how much more will he give us that to those who ask him? Any fulfillment, any blessing from a promise is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural. A healing is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Getting out of debt is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. As much as any gift or miracle or the gift of faith or the working of miracles is a direct manifestation of the Spirit, so are the things that come as a result of his work in our lives. It's a fruit of discipleship. It's a fruit of our relationship to him, as long as we're seeking him first and not just the things he can give us. Dear friends, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to strip us completely from within of all that would be independent of him, of all that would seek its own rather than the things of others, the things that he's doing in the body of Christ, the things that are on his heart. If we will allow him to do that, then these things will flow. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is that river that flows from our innermost being. A river of what? Of living water. Everything that river of living water touches will come to life, will be cleansed, will be made holy, will be redeemed, will be joined to Christ. That is our witness. That is our ministry. That is our influence as salt and light in the world. It's God doing it through us. But that's the cross working. That's God at work, working the cross in our lives. Now, again, nothing new to us. But the experience, dear friends, I trust now this evening, we're going to approach God, we're going to approach the matter of prayer, we're going to approach this principle of endurance with a fresh insight. It's God doing it. We endure, we persevere because God is preserving. Praise God. We're pressing in because the Holy Spirit is seeing to it that we're appropriating what belongs to us. Let him have the glory. Let him do the work. Let him have the power. Let him reveal to us his power in us. Praise God. He longs for that. Did you know the Father longs to bless us with the things that we're seeking? Oh, we're still too religious. We are still too separate from the vine that we say we're abiding in. It's my faith. It's like faith is something separate from God. Or my ministry, that's something separate from God. Or my obedience. It's an outflow of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. It's the result of what God has already spoken into our lives. Just let go and let God, praise God, he will do it.